great. Steady with the plate there, Douglas. Steady.
Good.
Honestly, you know, you come along, they say, have a Christmas lunch, and we have a splendid time, and then all of a sudden, Glyn Christian disappears. Did you notice that?
I know. I'm getting a bit worried about Glyn. I think, you know, he's been so many months on our programme every Thursday morning. He's had this lunch broadcast on the air. He's getting stage-struck, you know. I got very worried about him after lunch, Bob, because he came into the kitchen, opened the fridge door. When the light came on, he took a bow. I think he's getting stage-struck.
Look, would you pass the plate across, please? I'm wiping
How many more are there? I mean, there were only a few of us at lunch.
Dozens and dozens. And what happened to Andy Henderson? Last thing I saw, he was disappearing out through that door. I don't know what's happened to him.
Oh, I don't know.
I heard some snores coming. I'll have to investigate later.
Yes, anyway, where is he? Anyway. Where is he?
I heard you humming something just now, which was very upset. Pass that plate across.
Yes.
Yeah, fine.
Well, you know, it was the old Spike Jones and his City Slickers hit. Do you remember the old, leave the dishes in the sink, Ma.
Good heavens, there aren't many of us left, you know, Douglas. There aren't many of us left. Yeah, I do. I haven't got one here, but I bet old Richard Robbins has got one back in the studio there, or wherever he is. Richard, have you got a copy of that record you could possibly put on just while we carry on with this washing up? Okay, that's
possible.
You're
so right, Bob. I think we can dig around and just find something like that for you. Well, you asked for it, fella, so here it comes.
Started in a running when he heard the whistle blow. The postman brought a letter, an airmail from our Joe. It said, I've come back safely from across the ocean blue. Then Pa took off Ma's apron and he hollered out, Yahoo!
I'll leave the dishes in the sink. I'll leave the dishes in the sink.
Each dirty plate will have to wait. Tonight we're gonna celebrate.
Leave the dishes in the sink.
Pa started in a jiggin', and he cried, Ma, shake a leg. I'm going down the cellar, cause there's cider in the keg. The bologna's in the icebox, there's cheese and pickles too. We'll call in all the neighbors, cause tonight's our night. Yahoo!
I'll leave the dishes in the sink. Ma,
dirty plate will have to wait. Tonight we're gonna celebrate.
Leave the dishes in the sink.
I began a fiddling and the dancing was begun. Then Grandpa took his coat off and he yelled, partners, everyone! So each one picked a partner and they counted out one, two. And Ma, she twirled so pretty, they all hollered, Yahoo!
I'll leave the dishes in the sink. I'll leave the dishes in the sink.
Each dirty plate will have to wait. Tonight we're gonna celebrate.
Leave the dishes in the sink.
And while they all were dancing, the door flew open wide, and everybody stopped, and Sergeant Joey stepped inside. He shouted out, attention, and everybody knew to bother with the dishes was not the thing to do.
I'll leave the dishes in the sink. I'll leave the dishes in the sink.
Each dirty plate will have to wait. Tonight we're gonna celebrate.
Leave the dishes in the sink.
Fellas, well, I don't think AM's ever going to be the same after this. We have enough problems with Cameron as it is wanting to sing, but from now on in, well, it's anything goes. And talking of anything goes, I've been looking at some old books and looking at some of the old customs that are associated with Christmas, and I find that the holly and the ivy, the custom of bringing that and bringing evergreens into the home for the midwinter festival, dates back to the dawn of history. Because Christians hated mistletoe so much, they laid great stress in particular on the holly, the prickles, and the red berries being held to be emblems of Jesus' passion. Ivy was simply of decorative value, another alternative to mistletoe, although the bitterness of the berries was held to symbolise the passion. But holly is the main Christian decoration for both the home and the church. And I'm sure that you've got some holly around in your home. What about snow? Well, snow, and indeed the stagecoaches, the modern image of the white Christmas, sprang up during the 19th century mainly for decorative reasons. The familiar Christmas card scene of a stagecoach may well reflect the great frost of 1847, in which many coaches got stuck with resulting delay to the Christmas mails. And the robin and the wren and all those happy little birds dancing around all over the Christmas tree and indeed over Christmas cards. Well, here's one Christmas robin, of course, talking to you right now. But although the original significances have become distorted, nothing in the Christmas pattern is there by accident. And even that wren and robin redbreast, which appear on so many Christmas cards, reflect folk memories. In pre-Christian times, and indeed later, the wren, the tiny bird with a big voice, was the object of many superstitions, and people believed that it flew higher than any other bird by sitting on the back of an eagle and then taking off on its own. It was a sacred bird which could be hunted only on one day in midwinter. The robin and the wren are linked together in the oldest of nursery rhymes, The Marriage of Cock Robin and Jenny Wren, and its better-known sequel, Who Killed Cock Robin? Both are adaptations of ancient originals and reflect traditions which it's now impossible to reconstruct. Stories about the two birds appear first to have come to Britain from the Mediterranean during the Bronze Age. Well, we've another bird to talk about right now, a bird with a very, very silvery voice. It's very, very wrong to call her a bird. A young lady who we hear very, very regularly on the AM programme here on LBC every morning. And she gives us information about flights of a different nature. And it's Marie Collette. Marie, over many, many weeks now, I understand, has been having a little chat, a little secretive chat with Bob Holness. It's finally came out in the programme on Christmas Eve. And we found it so amusing, we thought that you'd like to hear it now. Marie and her construction of the 12 days of Christmas.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree.
Dearest Bob, I went to the door this morning and the postman delivered a partridge in a pear tree. What a thoroughly delightful gift. I couldn't have been more surprised. With deepest love and affection, signed, Marie.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love sent to me two turtle doves and a
dearest Bob, today the postman brought you a very sweet gift. Just imagine, two turtle doves. I'm delighted at your very thoughtful gift. They're just adorable. All my love. Signed, Marie.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me
dear Bob. Oh, aren't you the extravagant one? No, I really must protest. I don't deserve such generosity. Three French hens. They're just wonderful, but I must insist, you've been too kind. Love, Marie.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me four calling birds, three
dear Bob, today the postman delivered four calling birds. Now, really, they're beautiful, but don't you think enough is enough? You're being too romantic. Affectionately, Marie.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me five gold rings.
Dearest Bob, what a surprise. Today the postman delivered five gold rings, one for every finger. You're just impossible, but I love it. Frankly, all those birds squawking were beginning to get on my nerves. Oh, my love, Marie.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me six geese a-laying.
Dear Robert, when I opened the door, there were actually six geese a-laying on my front steps. So, you're back to the birds again, huh? Those geese are huge. Where will I ever keep them? The neighbours are complaining, and I can't sleep through the racket. Please stop. Cordially, Marie.
On the seventh day, seven swans are swimming.
Robert, what's with you and those wretched birds? Seven swans are swimming. What kind of joke is this? There are birds running all over the house and they never stop with the racket. I can't sleep at night and I'm a nervous wreck. It's not funny, so no more swans, please. Sincerely, Marie.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me eight maids of milky.
Look here, you swine. I think I prefer the birds. What the hell am I going to do with eight maids of milking? It's not enough with all those birds and eight maids a-milking, but they had to bring their cows. They're trampling up the lawn and I can't move in my own house. So just lay off, smart ass. Marie.
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 9 drummers drumming.
You Burke, what are you? Some kind of sadist? Now there are 9 drummers drumming. And quite honestly, they haven't stopped chasing those maids since they arrived this morning. The cows are getting upset and treading on all those screeching birds. Whatever am I going to do? The neighbours have even started a petition to evict me. Just you wait. Signed, Marie.
On the 10th day of Christmas, she said to me, 10 pipers piping.
You rotten swine. Now there are 10 pipers playing. And they've formed an all-night poker school with the drummers. The cows can't sleep and having eaten their way through my garden and now chewing up the dining room furniture. What's more, the building inspector's threatening to take out a court order to have the place condemned. Signed, you know who.
On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me.
Listen, Ratface. Now there's 11 ladies dancing. Although heaven knows why I call those sluts ladies. They've been after those drummers all night long. The pipers have run off with the maids and all 23 of the birds have been trampled to death in the confusion. I just hope you're satisfied, you rotten, vicious swine. Your sworn enemy. Signed, Marie.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 12 lords a-leaping.
Dear Mr. Holness, as senior partner of solicitors Messrs. Sue, Grabbit and Run, I'm writing to you on behalf of my client, Miss Marie Colette, concerning the question of a number of gifts delivered over the past few days.
Well, 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 the smooth, silky tones of Marie Colette there giving us her interpretation of the 12 days of Christmas. Well, I would like to have brought you something from my colleague at London Transport, Michael Meach, but unfortunately, they're not running today. Neither is Michael Meach, so that's that. Michael Meach doesn't perform today. Let's hope he will do later in the week. You're listening to Christmas Robins here on 261 97.3. This, however, is Christmas on 45.
MFI, it's our biggest ever sale with more at half price than ever before.
Furniture at half price for your home.
Half price lounge chairs, only $9.95. Half price desks, only $19.95. Half price chests, only $11.95.
Furniture at half price for your home.
The MFI sale starts Boxing Day this Saturday, 10 a.m.
Furniture at half price for your home.
Christmas Day afternoon to you. This is Greg Strange at the...
Are your windows in distress? Send us out an SOS. Seal it, save it, double glaze it with Interseal 2000. Line 6-1-2000. Ring 9-6-1-2000.
Thank you.
listening to LBC, and this is Christmas Robins. Well, a little Christmas there from Claire Hood, who, in fact, is quite little. She's 11 now. Retired, I understand, a few years ago when she was 8. She's decided to come out of retirement. Claire, many thanks indeed. We loved it immensely. Well, you know, I think what we ought to do now is to just pop over to the Holness Cameron residences and just see what is actually happening, how the washing up's going on.
Dear, that's the 74th plate.
I know.
Oh, hello.
Oh, dear. Here comes the female Billy Connolly.
Isn't it incredible the way you did... You know, you suddenly find that the wives disappear when there's washing and wiping up.
I know. Listen, the Queen's speech ended some time ago. Where have you two been since then?
Disappearing. Where's Andy Henderson disappeared to? We haven't found him anywhere.
That's a very good question.
Absolutely. We were saying that a moment ago, in fact. We saw Andy disappear through the past the bit of... I'll do the wiping this time, if you like.
If you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, well, what happened? Andy disappeared through that door. I tell you what, Douglas, it might be an idea, might it not, to try and track Andy down. We know Glynn has deserted the ship. Mary, Marjorie, would you mind coming over here for a moment? Douglas, pass this person. Do you mind that we've only... No, come on.
Not on Christmas.
Oh, no, come on. What do you mean not on Christmas? Come over here. Come along, if you don't mind.
Come on, girls. Okay, woman's place is in the home.
We have got to find Andrew Henderson.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
Douglas, we'll just go off and find Andrew. We'll be back in a minute, won't we? Yes? Bye.
Oh,
bye.
Woman's work is never done.
Wash or wipe, Marjorie?
Oh, I'll wash.
Whilst they're carrying on with the washing up and indeed engaging in the hunt for Andy Henderson, I've been doing my own bit of detective work, and Christmas puddings, you may be interested to know, first appeared about 1670, superseding an earlier dish of stiffened plum porridge. Mince pies were known to Shakespeare, and in the 16th century they contained mutton, tongue, chicken and egg, as well as fruit and spice. A tradition we seem to have lost is that of Christmas pie. In the year 1770, Sir Henry Grey's housekeeper in the country made one for her master and sent it to him for his Christmas dinner in London. It contained 4 geese, 2 turkeys, 4 wild ducks, 2 rabbits, 2 curlews, 7 blackbirds, 6 pigeons, 4 partridge, 6 snipe, 2 woodcock, and 2 neat's tongues. The pastry was made with 2 bushels of flour and 20 pounds of butter. Well, what a Christmas pie that was. And talking of that, I see someone has bought me... Oh, it's wonderful. I was looking forward to that nice bit of Christmas cake. And, at last it's arrived. And really delicious. Lovely nut there. All I need is that nice cup of tea. And we're working our way round now towards 5 o'clock. And I have a present as well. Good gracious me. What a remarkable looking thing. Just let me have a look at the label here. Oh, dear. I knew there was going to be trouble on this programme. It's a present from that well-known personality and television, I don't know what, creature called Jeremy Beadle.
Hello. This is Jeremy James, Anthony Gibson, Beadlebum-esque. I have been arsed, bullied. I've been wrapped up in silver buttons and dragged along here to say something rude about Richard Robbins. Now, what can one say that he doesn't do so well already himself? This little Christmas fairy perched on top of a microphone, wearing nothing than an off-the-shoulder twinkle, is just absolutely fab. Now, in fact, what did I buy Richard Robbins for Christmas? I will tell you what I bought him. I bought him his very own piggy dip. Now, his piggy dip is that which he fills up with wonderful, sweet-smelling, aromatic, sensual wonderfulness. And he dips his little naked piggies in, and they're coming out punging beautifully. And that's Richard Robbins for you. Now, many people have asked me, what about Butch? What about Butch? How is he, they say? Well, of course, Butch is being well-leathered by Tommy. Tommy keeps his leathers soft and supple, keeps him wrapped up warm, and brings him out on Sunday nights to everybody's delight. How is Tommy, everybody says? Well, you know what Tommy's like. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Fame waiting around the corner. I sit at home listening to him thinking, oh, isn't he great? A few other people, several people said, what about Kurt Nobler? What's Kurt doing for Christmas? Well, Kurt's gone off. He's doing a quick verbal doing over of Merlin Slime Pod, and he's still around. And that's about it. So may I wish you all a very, 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 and all that, merry, merry, merries, and enjoy yourself and stay warm. And to everybody who is not where they'd like to be, especially those people in hospital, and even more especially those people in prison, I wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas.
Jeremy Beadle. Who else could have possibly put it like that? Jeremy, thank you very much indeed. It is an absolutely lovely little present.
Well, this is LBC. You're listening to the final quarter of Christmas Robins, and in my performance every day on LBC, I'm joined by another young man, quite a number of young men and young ladies from that well-known motoring organisation, without which I think probably few motorists would be complete, or something like that. I refer, of course, to the AA, and who better to represent the AA on this occasion than Kelvin O'Shea?
There's always something magical about Christmas, especially when it's a white one. Here at the AA, it's just another working day, except for John putting up the Christmas chains in the weather room and Jean bringing in some mince tarts. Now, that brings me to food, a very important commodity at Christmas. However, one does tend to eat rather a lot. Christmas Day breakfast is no simple matter. For 364 days, I'm satisfied with a cup of tea and perhaps a bowl of cornflakes. But on December 25th, for some reason, I feel compelled to have a full 3-course meal. After breakfast, it's off to Stanmore. There we collate the information sent in by our patrols throughout the country who work all over Christmas. Then we can answer any queries the newspapers may have. On LBC, I'll tell you about the A40 Western Avenue blocked by snow. The telephone rings. Have any speed restrictions been imposed on the M6 at Preston, they ask. Then there's the everyday chores. Compiling an information sheet for the Times. Passing the latest road news to Oracle and London View data. But my Christmases haven't always been like that. On Christmas Eve, about 5 years ago, I was on the continent and missed my last boat home. There I was, stranded in this foreign land, unable to speak the language. And whenever I opened my mouth, I felt they were thinking, what a strange time of year to have tourists. Well, eventually I found a place to stay and once in my room, made a few telephone calls to my girlfriend and parents. In the morning, I paid the bill, and it seems that Christmas makes one speak rather too much. The cost of my calls to England came to 2.5 times the amount I paid for my room. I'm sure I must have learnt something from that, but perhaps not. Well, according to my egg timer, I do appear to have spoken 5 times longer than usual, so I'd better jump onto my yellow sleigh and speak to you tomorrow morning on AM. Happy Christmas.
Kelvin O'Shea of the AA on his sleigh. And in fact, I thought he was going to say the whole thing in rhyme. It would have been very, very enterprising indeed had he been able to do that. But Kelvin, we thank you very, very much indeed. And we'll be listening avidly, as you say, tomorrow morning. So there we are. Well, gracious me, you can't do anything in this place without an interruption. There's someone coming into the studio now bearing an enormous Christmas card.
Welcome each London Transport, and that's all written in one word on this radio Christmas card. Thanks, Richard, for letting me say happy Christmas to all the folk to whom I bring news of delays and cancellations 5 days a week.
Yes, well, we very nearly didn't, actually, Michael, if you were listening earlier in the programme, but do continue.
With no buses and no trains scheduled today, there's a 100% record of efficiency. But you don't really care, do you? And neither do I, to be honest. For me, it's the first Christmas day on which I've not had to work for a long, long time. For years, when I lived in Manchester, I was involved with a party for people who would otherwise be on their own on Christmas Day. One year, we had an old lady who insisted on sitting on her own at the table and playing games in different ways from everyone else. I'll live on me own and I'll enjoy myself on me own, was what she kept on saying. When we went into the church next door, she started singing carols before the service had even begun, and everyone else joined in, so that when the minister came in from the vestry, he must have felt that he was jumping onto a moving bus. The service had sort of left without him. She was enjoying herself in her way and helping everyone else to enjoy themselves as well, I suppose. Today, we're at home. Our daughter, who was married in September, is with us with her husband. Our son, who's doing justice to turkey and Christmas pudding. And our folks from Somerset are here too. And my wife, well, she's recovering at the end of a long and busy school term. So relax with us and let part of our happy Christmas be yours too, as the choir from the school at which my wife teaches sings for us.
Oh,
Michael Meach bringing a touch of sanity to this rather curious programme. Thank you, Michael, and indeed, family. A bit like the number 9 bus, really. Well, now, with this crazy hour winding almost to a close, I think we've got an opportunity to poke our head in yet once again to find out what's happening to the aftermath of that Holness Cameron party.
There he is. Andrew, good dog. What are you doing slumped in the corner of that settee with a glass of wine in your hand?
I've slipped into the southern hemisphere. It's, in fact, a glass of Van Damme.
Oh, is it?
After our little theme, I wasn't going to drink anything from the south.
I'm dead the match. You know, it occurred to us, coming along the passage, we last found you. Now, everybody's been looking for you all over the house. It occurred to us that many people, present company accepted, Doug.
Of course.
Yes.
I always look like this, Andy. Don't be silly.
Might be suffering from hangovers after the old, the celebrating through the Christmas lunch. But we wonder what a hangover was, Andy. Any idea?
Yes, certainly. But don't confuse a hangover with overeating, that's for sure. Hangovers are essentially dehydration. And what happens is that the posterior pituitary gland...
Oh, beg your pardon? You concentrate on your own posterior pituitary gland.
...has to sort of allow these antidiuretic hormones to be secreted. And alcohol suppresses that happening.
Good hope.
What basically means is you're nipping up and down the corridor all day long, and if you don't replace the liquids going out, you dehydrate and you're going to get a hangover.
It serves us right for asking, actually.
Well, it does,
it?
Really. Yeah. I didn't think we'd get a satisfactory answer, especially on Christmas afternoon.
Well, judging by what you look like, Andy, we thought that perhaps you might need something that Douglas has been concocting here. Yeah, so just to mix it up here.
The real thing to do is just yes, drink good right. water. I mean, get a bag of our Evian water. Or we've got some Highland Spring about somewhere, which has got bubbles in it.
Highland Spring, yes.
So have a drop of that. But yeah. I'll drink what Doug has given me.
Well, drink this, Andy. There's a good lad. Drink it down. There's a good boy.
Oh, Douglas.
Is it all right? Is it all right? Lovely, lovely. You are going to sleep.
Well, while you two fight it out, I think I'll ask Richard Robbins to play my favourite Christmas record by Singers Unlimited.
We've been a while a wandering amongst the leaves so green, and now we come a wassailing so plainly to be seen. For 'tis Christmas time and we travel far and near. May God bless you and send you a happy new year.
We are not daily beggars that beg from door to door. We are your neighbor's children whom you have seen before.
For 'tis Christmas time and we travel far and near. May God bless you and send you a happy new year.
God bless the master of this house, the mistress of this house.
God bless the master of this house, the mistress of this house. And all the little children that round the table It's Christmas time and we travel far and near. May God bless you and send you a happy new year.
Well, that's it from me this Christmas afternoon. In a few moments, we'll be having the 5 o'clock news. Before then, my many thanks to Bavin Cook, my producer, and Paul Easton, our engineer, for their remarkable help in putting this amazing hour of Christmas Robbins to air. From me, Richard Robbins, it's thanks for listening, have a tremendous Christmas, and a wonderful 1982. Let's hope it will be for everyone. And to take us up to the 5 o'clock news, let's listen to the Public Bar Supporters Club with their interpretation of Christmas.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. How a fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh.
interview this evening at 9 with Philip Bacon here on LBC.
Catch the tube to Florida. Come and browse in our London showrooms and find out about fabulous Pine Ridge Apartments in Florida, available now for as little as £20,000. We're Hove Nanyan, one of Florida's top developers, and we offer full management and letting services too. Get a taste of Florida at the Florida Center, 43 Conduit Street, near Oxford Circus Station. Open 7 days a week or ring 01-434-3328. That's 434-3328.
We can finally turn off the dryer now, Mrs. Sloan.
That's all right, Barbara. The longer I stay under the dryer, the less I eat.
I beg your pardon.
I'm trying to diet, but I'm always hungry.
Oh, I used to have that problem.
You did? You're slim. How do you control your appetite?
Deliciously, with AIDS cubes.
AIDS? A sweet. How can sweets help you eat less?
Oh, AIDS is more than delicious. It's a diet plan. I use AIDS as part of my calorie control diet. AIDS contains a low-calorie food supplement to take the edge off my appetite. They work so well that I eat less and lose weight deliciously.
Does AIDS contain drugs?